Wow, that's some good harmonica music. Well, hello. Sorry I'm so late getting back to you. It's been a couple weeks. Been doing some traveling and such like. But I wanted to talk to you about Abigail today. We are still in our series of what I have to say as a widow to whatever wife wants to listen. So I'm hoping this is a blessing for you. Before I start this story about this woman, I want to tell you something. Had I really pursued this wisdom from her years ago, there probably would be fewer regrets regarding my dear husband. I don't have a lot. We had a great marriage, but any regrets that I do carry, it's for my own shortcomings, and hopefully that combined with the following lesson will be a blessing for you. So here we go. There was a king in the Bible whose name was David, and his mentor was a prophet named Samuel. Well, as we enter the story, his beloved Samuel has passed, and so David is carrying the burden of grief. As a widow, I know how that can mess with your brain, mess with your attitude, mess with your spirit. And so David had this situation. And not only was he running from Saul at the time and trying to lead an army of 600 men, but he had the grief of losing Samuel as we begin our story. So the next thing we learn is that it's shearing season. Now, in that environment, when there was shearing season, it was a big time for lavish feasting. And in Carmel, which is where Nabal lived, David and his men previously had protected Nabal's herdsmen for many months while the sheep were growing and getting their beautiful fur and all of those things. And David never asked for payment for that. He just waited until the time of shearing, because during the time of shearing, the sheep herder had received already much wealth and could afford, perhaps at that point, to make things right with David and his men. So David sent 10 men to honor Nabal by encouraging him to graciously have an opportunity to give anything that he might have on hand to the betterment of all these men that had helped him. Okay. So he first of all sends these men with a message. You say, when you see Nabal, peace be to you and to your house, and you be very gracious in all of this. And so the young men did that. Well, what happened was Nabal, and by the way, his name means fool, and he was indeed a fool, said, and who does David think he is? Lots of people run around wanting food. What should I give him? What I've done, what I've raised, what I've prepared for my servants? Not a chance. And so the men came back and told that to David. Well, David, again, in his time of grief, and just because he's a warrior to begin with, told everybody, get on your swords, we're going after this guy. There's not going to be one man left in all of his household by the time the morning comes. Come on, let's get on your swords, get on your horses, and let's ride. Well, one of the young men that had been a recipient of David's protection over the years heard what Nabal had done, and he knew well enough. David was very well known at the time, and he knew his days were numbered if he didn't do something about it. So he went to Nabal's wife. Her name is Abigail. Now, Abigail was a very wise woman. She had a lot of richness in her character, and she also had a lot of knowledge about things in the world and how if she was going to do something, she better do it quickly. So she told that young man and several men, load up a bunch of food and start taking it over to David. Everything you think he might want, 200 cakes of figs and raisins and bread and lambs that had already been prepared for cooking. And I mean, there's 600 guys out there. She provided enough food in her wagons to feed all 600 of them. And off she took, fast, riding on her donkey to meet David. Well, sure enough, she sees him down in the valley. She jumps off her donkey and falls on her face before him and begs his forgiveness, explaining, "I didn't know your men had come. Those 10 men asking for help, or perhaps I could have done something about it. Please forgive me. Here, I want you to accept these gifts that I'm bringing to you." And then she begins to tell him, "You're way too good of a guy to go off and kill for no particular reason, and it would trouble your conscience for a good while afterwards, knowing that without thought, you had pursued and actually taken the life of potentially some innocent people, and so you're too good a guy for that. This is not your calling. You're called to be a king. God holds you in a bundle under his arm for protection. And I just think you really need to give this some serious thought," is basically what she said. But she said it with so much wisdom, with so much discretion, in such a subdued presentation, not as though she was superior. And in fact, she bowed before him before she even began speaking and requested his permission. So the story goes on. David thanks her for her discretion. He respects her. All the guys have something to eat. And he says, "You go on home. You know, good for you, gal. You just prevented me from doing something I would have regretted. And thank you." Well, later in the story, as we follow it along, just for interest's sake, God does rain judgment down on Nabal. He passes away. And as was the custom in those days to have more than one wife, David actually ended up marrying Abigail. And so it kind of has a Prince Charming conclusion to it. Okay, so why do I want to tell you about Abigail? Because, first off, you probably have a husband or sons or even brothers or fathers in your life. And I'll tell you, my grandma used to say this, and this proves it out. The way to a man's heart is through his tummy. Ladies, please, if you have a dear husband who's out working every day, have some food ready when he comes home. Jump off your donkey and run to the kitchen. When you sense the day is coming to a close, do something so that when he walks through the door, he knows food is going to be on the table. Presently, you might want to bake a loaf of bread so it smells good, or, you know, whatever. I never used recipes. I just would sense when Steve was on his way home, put the frying pan on the stove, cut up an onion, and start browning an onion. My husband loved onions. He would walk through the door and, "Oh, this is my favorite restaurant." All I had, you guys, was onions cooking in the pan, and he'd say it was his. I'm going, "Oh no, Lord, help me figure out what else to put in this pan for this man while he showers." Off he'd go, and sure enough, I'd be able to jerk out some more vegetables and a hunk of some kind of meat or whatever, a little bit of bread or whatever it was we had on hand, some rice, and throw together a meal. And so when he came out of the shower, still with the smell of onions in his mind, there would be this this beautiful spread on the table. And I never did cook the same thing twice because I just wasn't very skilled at that. But he loved my cooking. And once I softened the day, so to speak, with these gifts of food, then I could say, if there was something serious to talk about, "Honey, after dinner and after we get the kids to bed or whatever, could we have just a little time of conversation?" See, I made an appointment with him. Would it be okay if I talked? We covered this in one of the last podcasts. And then we could approach something and I could honor him and assume responsibility if there had been a problem and exhort him and appeal to his higher self, as it were, that he would have success in whatever it was we discussed. I tried to always, well, I didn't always, but in retrospect, I would have done it more, make him feel like the winner in any of our conversations. So I'm hoping that that was a blessing to you and that you could maybe apply a little bit of it. You know, we need to use whatever tools we have available to us so that when our husbands come home from work or we have an opportunity to talk to them, we can do it with wisdom and encourage them in their walk with God, encourage them with their life, and help them always to be happy. And ever more grateful that they have you for a wife or a mother or a daughter, however it may fit. These men, they need us, and they need us to have wisdom in how we deal with them. And why is that? Because it's important. See you next time.